It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Political leaders in Wisconsin and around the country have raised concerns about companies from foreign countries buying U.S. farmland. That includes members of the Wisconsin legislature and U.S. Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde, who have called for various limits or transparency guidelines.
A new report digs into the issue in the Journal of the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers. The findings, according to available data, fears of China buying up huge chunks of U.S. farmland may be overstated. And the top foreign owners of American agricultural land are Canadian.
Wendong Zhang co-wrote that report. He is an assistant professor in applied economics and policy at Cornell University's Business School. Wendong, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
It's a pleasure.
So we have this concern from some politicians over the amount of foreign-owned farmland here in the United States. You dug into the records. First of all, what kind of record keeping is there? How closely does the federal government track when foreign entities are buying American farmland?
Yep, this is a very good question. And as you mentioned, this is an increasingly hot topic. We actually have a FIDA Act of 1978, Agricultural Foreign Investment Disclosure Act. So the federal regulation doesn't ban foreign land holdings, either ownership or long-term leasing, but it does require foreign persons or companies who acquire, transfer, or hold an interest in U.S. agricultural land to report their holdings and transactions to USDA. And so a failure to report and providing false information could result in civil penalties of up to 10% of the market values. So this is a voluntary reporting with potential penalties. And what we have is that you don't know the exact location of this land holding, but you know the company name and you know which county and the how many acres and some breakdown of the land parcel characteristics, such as whether this is cropland versus forest land versus pasture.
You dug into that data from the USDA, and the big concern is so-called adversary nations owning farmland in the United States, China in particular. So when you dug into how much land by county Chinese-backed landowners had in the United States, what did you find out?
So as an overview, U.S. Foreign persons or companies hold about 43 million acres of U.S. agricultural land as of 2022, and it's about 3.4% of all privately held agricultural land. As you mentioned, the attention is on adversary countries, China, Russia, Venezuela, Cuba, and Iran, and with increasing attention on China. China actually is not one of the dominant player in this space. Canada owns and leases. So this is about 12 million acres of U.S. land, while China's total holding across the entire United States about 350,000 acres. So just by acre, it's a big number, but it's if you're looking at the percentage, it's remember this will be less than 1% of all foreign holdings. And another thing to clarify is that this may not be outright ownership. This could also include long-term leasing as well. So if you're looking at Midwest, including Wisconsin, there is a lot more wind turbines. If you look at where I am at, in New York, there are a lot of solar panels, and this some of the investment are coming from foreign countries as well. And so those are often multi-decade leases on cropland. And so those are required to be reported to USDA as well. And we do have, because we have the record level data, not only for the whole country, but also for different states as well. So I'm also happy to share some information about Wisconsin later on as well.
Hey, let's go right there. What do we know about foreign-owned farmland in Wisconsin? Who owns it and what's happening on that land?
So the U.S. has 3.4% of all privately held agricultural land owned or long-term leased by foreign persons, actually more foreign companies. Mm-hmm. And that percentage in Wisconsin is 2.4%. There are two interesting points when we are looking at the Wisconsin is 85% of all land that has a foreign interest is forest land. So it's not cropland, not pasture land. It's actually like a nearly about 400,000 acres of forest land, predominantly Canadian ownership. It plays a bigger role. So 85% of the land with a foreign interest is forest land. There's another interesting thing is when you're looking at the breakdown, some of the top players, some of the top companies in Wisconsin is actually doesn't have any predominant country code. And in that case, USDA actually doesn't require you to report the multiple country involved in this transactions. So if you're looking at the raw data, we can only see the country code is 999, no predominant country code, but they actually holds probably the lion's share of all the foreign land holdings of in Wisconsin. About half of the land with a foreign interest are held by these about 3 to 5 large companies with no one dominant country. So it's likely a collection of Western Canadian and Western European countries. But this also highlights the need to beef up the quality of the reporting. So I'm sure that many politicians in Wisconsin and the public would like to know sort of the breakdown or what are the countries involved in those, especially given their significant presence in Wisconsin.
Now, if I'm reading your charts correctly, I believe Wisconsin is included in what you call the Lake region of the United States. When it comes to China, land owned by companies based in China, that's zero. There are 0 acres owned by China in this region. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So when you're looking at the adversary countries, so China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and Venezuela, based on the public records voluntarily reported to USDA, all these countries do not hold any agricultural land in Wisconsin. That said, many people could say this is because this could indicate the quality of the data. It's possible maybe there are some Chinese presences underrepresented if, for example, if the Chinese entities hold some minor shares of this no predominant country code holdings, as I noted before. The bottom line is if you're concerned about significant Chinese holdings of agricultural land in Wisconsin, the evidence seems to say the contrary.
We are talking to Wendong Zhang, assistant professor in applied economics and policy at Cornell University. Talk about research he did on foreign ownership of farmland, cropland here in the United States, Wisconsin and beyond. Wendong, as a researcher, we're hearing politicians say we need to crack down on foreign ownership, or at least we need better record keeping and transparency. Speaking as a researcher, as you were doing this, were there changes that you thought, gosh, if they kept better records or enforced the collection of this data better, we would have a better data set? What kind of changes would have helped you in this research?
If multiple countries holds one piece of agricultural land, we only have one record and likely the dominant player, but we would like to know what other countries are involved, and we would have a more complete picture. And second, that we're interested in the report. I think we can improve the quality of the reporting where when a company is reporting onto USDA, they need to become more transparent about their parent company. So we only know they could come up with a shell company name where it's harder to detect where the funding is coming from, especially when there's no predominant country code. I think those are some of the things that could help with our research. And USDA and the U.S. government accountability office actually issued a recent report that calls for better quality, better data reporting, and better training of USDA of the county officials at a farm service agency within that agency, because these companies are not reporting to the headquarters in DC. They're reporting to the counties, one particular county USDA official at in Wisconsin and other states. And many people at the local counties lack the resources and trainings to know how to vet and ensure the quality and the completeness of the data they received.
One other concern that some politicians have raised goes like this, I think. Hey, maybe some of this land is near military installations in the United States, could possibly be grounds for espionage. Now, given the limits of the data, you tried to figure that out. This is county-level data, so that may not tell us if land is right next to a military installation. But based on the available data, what were you able to figure out?
So unfortunately, the database doesn't have a specific location of the land holding. What we can do is we can only compare the land with the land in a county with military installations versus not. And we do not find a significant increase of targeting of foreign countries into these countries with higher presence of military base. But we understand and appreciate the concern, and I think that there are already state level and federal level legislations to make sure there are enough vetting during the process, especially there are sensitive military installations nearby. I think that maybe as part of the approval process, this needs to become part of the routine if you are in such a county with significant military presence.
Looking at states around the country, you just mentioned, Wendong, that a lot of states have policies in place that put some kind of limits on foreign land ownership. In your report, you say other states are looking at that. What kind of things are out there? What kind of things, what kind of restrictions have states put into place?
So there are different kind of policies, and there are policies that overall restrict all foreign land holdings. And there are states that, like Texas, that ban specific countries such as China. There are some proposals both at U.S. Congress, for example, to think about to expand the eligibility and requirements of the foreign entities to report not only land holdings with 10 years leasehold or more, but also report leaseholding less than that, like 5 to 10 years. There are also proposals thinking about potentially requiring the foreign entities holding any share, not just the majority or significant share of U.S. land, needs to report to USDA. For example, if a Chinese company and a Wisconsin company create a joint venture, and the dominant shareholder is a business in Wisconsin holding 80%. Even in this case, then some of the legislative proposal requires if your business partners and significant shareholders are from a foreign countries, then you also bear the responsibility to report more details under the AFIDA Act.
I'm looking at a chart in your paper, Wendong, just showing, you know, which countries own farmland in the United States. I mean, the big story here is Canada. It's off the charts compared to everybody else. What stood out to you in terms of Canadian ownership or long-term leasing of American cropland?
Yeah, I think that there are two things to note. And in addition to what you commented on, that the Canada rather than China is a dominant player, if you're concerned about foreign land ownership, we understand that, you know, the political risk posed by Canada and China is different.
Right.
But when you're looking at The Canadian land holding, there's another significant thing is that it's a significant as of now, but half of the land holding are actually acquired and over the past 10 years. So there are significant efforts to ramp up this land holdings. And a part of that is increasing presence of at least a cropland for renewable energy investment in solar and renewable and solar and wind as well. So it's not just buying forest land as they has been doing for decades, but they are also increasing involved in leasing cropland, often outside the Midwest, but increasingly all over the country, in order to invest in renewable energy development, taking advantage of the federal and state level policy incentives too.
Wendong, you and your co-authors in the paper don't really take a political stance on the benefits and risks of foreign ownership of American agricultural land. Would you want to make a case, though, for the importance of collecting good data, the best data we can, to at least understand the scope of foreign ownership of ag land in the U.S.?
Without the accurate and complete data, then people will make up their own stories, and we don't really know the actual picture. And one example is, for example, if you want to know the Chinese presence in commercial real estate, because there's no significant reporting, we actually have no idea. We only have anecdotal stories. Regarding the impacts that my colleague Michael Taylor at Auburn University and I have done some research, and we find that the foreign companies and other foreign buyers tend to buy much larger tracts because of higher transaction costs. In addition, they seems to be paying on average higher prices than their American counterpart when they're buying farmland parcels when we are trying to compare the per acre prices. But the USDA has done some systematic work to look into whether the foreign land holdings have caused any major changes in land prices or land availability. And I want to remind the listeners that it's only 3.54% of all U.S. agricultural land, and especially in Wisconsin and other Midwestern states, that the foreign influence is actually smaller. The effects is much more modest, and they do not find any significant influence based on the current data.
Wendong, thanks again for joining us today.
Yep, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Wendong Zhang is an assistant professor in applied economics and policy at Cornell University. You can read more about his report on foreign ownership of American farmland at WPR.org. You can follow the latest news while you're there, share stories with friends and family, and stream this network live while you're there. Again, that's all at WPR.org.